I ask you now to give your careful and your prayerful attention to our brother, Elder Dwayne Ely.
Thank you, Brian. It's good to be here with you this evening, and good to see each one of you here. This may be your lucky day today to have two sermons and both of them be under an hour. I know when I first started preaching, for me to preach an hour, sometimes I'd have 20 or 25 scriptures. Now I can preach an hour with 10 scriptures. I seem to talk more now than I used to. Kind of the bad news, I have 11 scriptures tonight, but I think they're a little shorter, so I think it's going to be under an hour. I want to start in James chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. A familiar scripture to us. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. If any lack wisdom, we all lack wisdom from time to time. It's something we need to continually be striving for. And it takes diligence and it takes prayer. We need to ask God for this wisdom. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive any thing of the Lord. So we need to ask in faith, believing. If we want to have this greater wisdom, we need to ask in faith, believing. And that needs to be in all things in our life. Whenever we ask the Lord for anything, we need to have that strong and mighty faith to believe that he will give us those blessings that we are seeking. The title of my sermon tonight is True Wisdom. True wisdom. And there's such a difference between a godly wisdom that we are seeking after and the wisdom of the world. They are so far apart. And as we see time go on, they're separating farther and farther apart. The definition of wisdom is the knowledge of what is true or right, coupled with just judgment, the quality or state of being wise. And what does wise mean? It means having the power of discerning and judging properly as to what is true or right. Wisdom is the ability to apply biblical truths to all of life's situations. Wisdom means living and thinking according to God's plan. Godly wisdom. The wise humbly submit their lives to the will of God. The wise are those who know God and keep his commandments. Those are the wise people in the world today. And unfortunately, there's getting to be fewer and fewer of them as time goes on. We see a greater separation. And it's prophesied that this would happen, that in the last days there would only be a few true believers of Christ. And we are seeing that fulfilled today in our lifetime. We are seeing those things happen. Let's turn over to Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So we see what it says here is the beginning of wisdom. It is the fear of the Lord. That is where godly wisdom begins. It's having this fear of the Lord. And that is so different from the things of the world and this worldly wisdom that does not involve that fear of the Lord. That's a big problem with the world today, is that people don't fear God. They don't have that godly fear. When we fear God, we give Him reverence and honor and respect. That is due to our Lord and Savior. We are obedient to His laws. We follow His commandments daily. Part of our life is we have that desire to follow His commandments. We love God. We love God more than anything else in the world. We must have a reverent awe for God, for His power, His majesty, His holiness. We have to have this awe for God, this all-powerful being. And we must fear God's judgment. We know that it is a righteous judgment. And for those that are following after Him, His judgment will be wonderful for those people. But those that are not following after Him, that are going the ways of the world, that judgment is something to fear greatly. Let's turn over a few chapters in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 4. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. That shouldn't be a goal in our lives, to be rich, for the sake of being rich, which is what the world does today. They set themselves up. We know that the scriptures talk about if we seek riches to help others, that is okay. But that's not the world. What the world does, is it? They seek riches for themselves. And it says, cease from thine own wisdom. We see that so much today in the world, the people, their own wisdom, that is so far from God's wisdom. We can see many bad examples in the world today. How many of you have heard of Paris Hilton? How many of you are glad you've heard of Paris Hilton? That's what the news media does. We become aware of these people. And I really don't like being aware of these people. I don't like knowing what they're doing in their lives, their wickedness and their evil things. And we see that so much. If you read the newspaper and you watch the news, you're going to hear about these people. Every day you're going to hear about these people that are doing things that are ungodly. But here's an example of something just in the paper just a couple days ago about Paris Hilton. It's on how she decides who is worthy of her friendship. This is how she decides. Now think of what would a godly person do? You know, who is worthy of our friendship? You know, what would be the criteria for analyzing this as godly servants and trying to convert the world? Okay, this is her idea. I pick out two outfits, one which is disgusting and one nice. And I'll ask my friend, and in quotes, friend, what they think. If they go for the revolting one, I cut them out of my life. Now, can you imagine this? Can you imagine this thought process that's going through this person's head of something so ridiculous that means nothing, absolutely nothing? And she uses this for a criteria for choosing her friends. I'm sure if they're drug addicts or these type of things, or if they're living with somebody, I'm sure those things are just fine with her. You know, I'm sure those are great, but if they, you know, if they do this, they're out of our life. There's no wisdom there, is there? No wisdom. Let's turn over to Mosiah chapter 11, verses 52 and 53. And this is on page 277. And thus the Lamanites began to increase in riches and began to trade one with another and wax great and began to be a cunning and a wise people as to the wisdom of the world. Okay, we see here that they began to increase in riches. And it's common for the world when they increase in riches that their whole mindset changes. And they lose their humility and things change. But it says they began to be a cunning and wise people, but look what they're wise to, as to the wisdom of the world. Verse 53. Yea, a very cunning people, delightful in all manner of wickedness and plunder, except it were among their own brethren. So we see what kind of wisdom they had, the wisdom of the world, and this was wickedness. Not this godly wisdom that we're seeking after. This is the kind of wisdom, this worldly wisdom, that can lead us to destruction. We need to be aware of that in our lives and to watch out for it. Because we know Satan is always out there trying to tempt us with everything and anything that he can to lead us away. In Isaiah 29:14, we read, "For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid." We can see that today, can't we? The wisdom of their wise men shall perish. Read the news. The people that are supposed to be wise in this world. And see what kind of wisdom that is. For the most part, it's that worldly wisdom. It's not that godly wisdom that each one of us are seeking after. Let's turn over to 2 Nephi chapter 6, verses 59 through 61. This is on page 109. When they are learned, they think they are wise, and they hearken not unto the counsel of God, for they set it aside, supposing they know of themselves. That's something we need to be aware of and cautious of education. I'm not saying education is bad. Education can be good. But we also have to realize that in many of these classes, especially higher education And even today, you know, the grade schools and stuff, they're imposing things upon our children that are not godly. But we need to be aware of these things and be cautious of them, because some of these things are very deceptive, and they can lead us away. As this verse makes it very, very plain. Let me read it again. When they are learned, they think they are wise, and they hearken not unto the counsel of God. For they set it aside, supposing they know of themselves. Wherefore, their wisdom is foolishness, and it profiteth them not. Wherefore, they shall perish. But to be learned is good, if it so be that they hearken unto the counsels of God. So we need to use wisdom in these things, in these classes that we take, and the things that are taught. There are people, members of the Church of Christ, who have gone to school, who have got a higher education, a 4-year college degree, and have left the church. They followed after the wisdom of the world and this learning, which was not godly. It's something we need to be aware of, something they need to be cautious about. Because many of these things that are taught today are false. And I have an example of one. I want to read in Genesis. We're going to start at Genesis 1:1. And I'm first going to read to you in Genesis what happened about the creation. And this is what God did. This is how he created the world. And then I'm going to read to you from Time magazine and see what they have to say about the creation. And we'll see how vastly different they are. Verse 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Very fundamental, basic belief of a Christian that God created the heavens and the earth and all things that are in them. He created man from the dust. We have to believe that if we're Christians. Now let's skip over to verse 14. And we'll read 14 through 19. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. We know what that greater light is, don't we? It's the sun. And that lesser light is the moon. And it says right here in this verse, and the stars also. God created all of these things. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. God created all of these things. And some of these things we have to take by faith, don't we? We can't prove these things. I can't prove this. But I have faith and belief that God did this. But to me personally, some of the proof is just us sitting here as human beings. This hand that works like this. Me being able to stand up here and talk. To me, it makes no sense that came from Ponscum. To me, the only way it could have happened was from a divine being. That it was created, as were the heavens. Now, let's look in Time Magazine and see what the one of the popular beliefs of the world today is. And this is, today is September 3rd, right? I mean, this is cutting edge stuff. This Time Magazine is dated September 4th. So this is cutting edge stuff. It says right in the front, how the stars were born. For the first time ever, scientists take an incredible journey to the dawn of the universe. Let's see what this journey is we got here. Inside it says, let there be light. 400,000 years after the Big Bang, the cosmos went black. And here's what happened next. Okay, first we need to know what they're saying the Big Bang is. Okay, here's the Big Bang theory came in 1948 from the Russian-American physicist George Gamow. And Gamow believed that the universe was created in a gigantic explosion as all mass and energy were created in an instant. He believed that the various elements observed today were produced within the first few minutes after the Big Bang, when the extremely high temperature and density of the universe would fuse subatomic particles into the chemical elements. Nothing to do with God. Absolutely nothing. Let's read on here a little bit. It would give astrophysicists their first real glimpse into crucial and mysterious era in the evolution of the cosmos, known as the Dark Ages of the universe. It's a 200 million year period, more or less, after the last flash of light from the Big Bang faded and the first blush of sun-like stars began to appear. What happened during the Dark Ages set the stage for the cosmos we see today, with its billions of magnificent galaxies and everything that they contain. When the Dark Ages began, the cosmos was a formless sea of particles. By the time it ended, just a couple hundred million years later, the universe was alight with young stars gathered into nascent galaxies. It's got a graph here. The Dark Ages begin. When the cosmos was about 400,000 years old, it was cooled to about the temperature of the surface of the sun, allowing subatomic particles to combine for the first time into atoms. The last burst of light from the Big Bang shone forth at that time. It is still detectable today in the form of a faint whisper of microwaves streaming from all directions in space. The discovery of those microwaves in 1964 confirmed the existence of the Big Bang. They've confirmed it by these microwaves now. But as the universe expanded, it finally cooled down enough to allow atoms to form and light to shine out across open space. The accidental discovery of that light back in the 1960s convinced astronomers that the Big Bang was a real event, not just a theoretical construct. And here at the start of the Dark Ages, there were no galaxies, no stars, and no planets. There's no God involved in this at all, is there? This all came from a Big Bang. So if we went to school to be an astronomer, would that be a good profession to be into? Probably not, would it? Probably not. But these are the theories and the things that are going on in the world today where they have cut God out of it. That's going to be more common as we go on. Brian, I think, talked a little bit about this morning about religions cutting Christ out of things and not saying that he really didn't raise from the dead and these types of things. The wisdom of the world. Very deceptive. It can lead us to destruction. We need to be careful of these things because they're everywhere in our daily walk of life. Everywhere. We are bombarded with these every day. If you read a newspaper, if you listen to the news, if you read a magazine, if you talk to people at work, everywhere you're going to be bombarded with these things, the wisdom of the world. We need to be cautious about these things and look for that true wisdom. That true wisdom that comes from God. Let's go back to Proverbs, chapter 3. Chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. And we'll see what this godly wisdom can do for us. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. This wisdom from the Lord. That's how we find this true happiness, is in our spiritual life. It's not the things of the world. It's not the riches of the world. It's not the deceit of the world. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. So we see that this true wisdom from God is more valuable than all these riches of the world. These things that most people hold up as being of great value. But they're really not. And we know that they will all fade away. All fade away. Let's turn over to Alma, chapter 17, verses 66 through 70. This is on page 441. Preach unto them repentance and faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach them to humble themselves and to be meek and lowly in heart. Teach them to withstand every temptation of the devil with their faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. We see where we put our faith, on the Lord Jesus Christ, not on these things of the world. Teach them to never be weary of good works, but to be meek and lowly in heart, for such shall find rest to their souls. O, remember, my son, and learn wisdom in thy youth. Yea, learn in thy youth to keep the commandments of God. Yea, and cry unto God for all thy support. Yea, all thy doings be unto the Lord, and whithersoever thou goest, let it be in the Lord. Yea, let thy thoughts be directed unto the Lord. Yea, let the affections of thy heart be placed upon the Lord forever. Counsel the Lord in all thy doings, and he will direct thee for good. Yea, when thou liest down at night, lie down unto the Lord, that he may watch over you in your sleep. And when thou risest in the morning, let thy heart be full of thanks unto God. And if ye do these things, ye shall be lifted up at the last day. We need to be praying about everything in our life As this last verse says, but in verse 68, it says, "Oh, remember my son and learn wisdom in thy youth." What wonderful counsel that is. To learn it in your youth, when you're young, and it'll carry through for the rest of your life. But what if we haven't learned it in our youth? It's not too late. It's never too late. Because God is always there with open arms. But it can be easier for us if we learn this godly wisdom in our youth. Let's turn back over to Proverbs. Just back a page. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. What a wonderful scripture this is. It has so much in it. To put our trust in the Lord, our complete trust in the Lord. Sometimes it's not as easy to do as other times, is it? When things are going good, it's easier to put our trust in the Lord, isn't it? But when we're having a hard time, when life's hard and we have trials and problems, sometimes it's not as easy to put our trust in the Lord. But that's the very time that we need to put the most trust in the Lord. With our whole heart. And if we do, He will be there for us. He will be there. It says, lean not unto thine own understanding. Some of these examples I've given you earlier. People have leaned on their own understanding of things. See, one of the problems today is that people do not want to admit there was a God. They do not want to admit there was a creation. They want to be able to explain everything scientifically. They lean on their own understanding. And they cut God out of it. And it will lead them to destruction. Verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. We need to acknowledge God in everything that we do and ask Him about everything that we do in our lives. That is wisdom. That's godly wisdom. And if we do that, He will direct our paths. He will guide us and direct us and where we're going. Because a lot of times we know that when we're in the path of life, that we can't see all the steps, can we? We maybe can only see just a few ahead of us. But that's all we need. If we're putting our trust in God, He will open up that path to eternal life for each one of us. We just have to take it one step at a time and put our faith and trust in God. Let's turn over to Mosiah, chapter 1, verse 49. This is on page 212. The words of King Benjamin. Was King Benjamin a wise man? Absolutely, he was a wise man. Great wisdom. And behold, I tell you these things, that ye may learn wisdom. He's telling them, these people, these things, so they could learn wisdom. And let's see what he has to say. That ye may learn that when ye are in the service of your fellow beings, ye are only in the service of your God. The wisdom of King Benjamin. Did he serve his fellow man? Absolutely. Do most kings serve their fellow men? Not hardly. He was in his service to them. And he's telling us that. And this is one of the greatest ways that we can serve God, is by serving our fellow man. There's great wisdom in this. It is something we need to be mindful of in our daily lives. That we have this greater service to our fellow beings. Wisdom. True wisdom from our Lord and Savior. Let's turn over to Alma, chapter 18, verse 11. Page 444. This verse starts out very similar to that last one we just read. It starts out, "And now, my son, I have told you this, that ye may learn wisdom." So we see he's telling them something, that they may learn wisdom. And let's see what he has to say. "That ye may learn of me that there is no other way nor means whereby man can be saved, only in and through Christ." A very fundamental part of our religion, isn't it? The very core of our religion. Our faith in Jesus Christ. Our faith that He is the very Son of God. That He was born. That He lived on this earth. That He died on the cross for our sins. And that He rose again. He was resurrected on that third day. The very fundamental core of our religion. Jesus Christ. That He is the Son of God. A lot of the world believes in Christ. Islam believes in Christ. But they believe He was just a man, just a prophet, not the Son of God. Christ living on this earth is something that can be proved historically. You know, we may not be able to prove creation, but Christ walked on this earth. That's historical. The world knows that. Those that know of Christ, they know He walked on this earth. The difference is, and here's where the wisdom comes in, or the lack of wisdom. So much of the world does not believe that He is the very Son of God. That He is the Savior of the world. So they have a completely different view of Christ. And that's what this is talking about here. That there is no other way nor means whereby man can be saved, only in and through Christ. And that is believing that He is the very Son of God. And that we follow after Him. And that we follow His commandments. That we have this fear of God. That we put our faith and trust in God. And that we love nothing more than God. It is wisdom that Christ be the very center of our life. The most important thing in our life. Not the things that distract us in the world. There are many things out there that can distract us. And as we've read, that can lead people away. But we need to focus on Christ. Follow after Him. Put Him first in our life. That is wisdom. That is the wisdom that will lead us to eternal life. Thank you.